Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, October 14th, 2018. Pastor Paul Talbert. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Here we are. Just as a reminder, if you're visiting with us today or if you have a memory like mine, it's very good but it's very short. Last week we looked at the first part of a longer reading from Mark where he talks about, always asks a question. The question was meant to trip him up. Very antagonistic, confrontational question about marriage. And then what happens is, instead of looking at how sin has ruined and tarnished and really made marriage difficult, Jesus says, you know, in the beginning, it wasn't like that. And he takes everyone's eyes and he says, you need to remember God's blessing as it was intended by God. Well, then the disciples still didn't get it. They're still arguing. They're still wondering what's going on. And finally he takes a little child and he says, unless you become like a little child, and remember what that meant? You were 100% relying on the fact that your dad is going to let you live, that your dad is going to let you carry on the family name, that your dad is going to care for you. In fact, in those days, you would listen to your dad until your dad died, and then you were free from being underneath his control. So now we're going to come to the next section. And I want to, again, point out that this is what the question is that we're going to be looking at. What must I do to inherit eternal life? It's a really cool question. So I want your eyes on the screen for just a little bit as you see visually what happened and how this all transpired.
As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life?
Look at these.
Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God.
In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my dear friends and fellow believers, I'm very, very glad that God recorded his word because it allows us to get a little glimpse into God's mind. The things he records here, you can just dip into again and again and again, and the well never goes dry. What must I do to inherit eternal life? First of all, who is this guy? Well, we're told this is recorded more than one place in the scripture. He's a rich guy. Well, we know that also from the end. He was a ruler, some man prominent in their society. And what does this guy do? He does a couple of things that are really unusual. We don't quite get it because of our culture is way different, but he ran to Jesus. In those days, after you hit a certain age, you didn't run anywhere. It doesn't matter how much in a hurry you were, you walked everywhere. Kids ran because kids couldn't think ahead far enough, but men and women walked. So the first thing, he throws all that aside. He goes running up to Jesus. So Jesus, obviously, he thinks that some man who's really kind of prominent, he needs to have some kind of answers from this guy because Jesus, by his life, is showing that he lives way different. He is way different than everybody else. So what's going on? And he falls down to the guy's on his knees in front of Jesus. Well, you just don't do that. And then he says this wonderful question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The reason why it's a wonderful question is because of the implication. Did you catch this? This man knows not everybody gets into heaven. He knows. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He also lets us know something else with that question, that he's not sure that he's on the right track. Am I going to get in? So here he is. He knows that there is heaven. He knows that there is a God of gods and Lord of lords. He knows that at the end of life, you have to go either to heaven or out of heaven. And he wants to be sure, and he's not sure. What must I do to inherit eternal life? You and I have a great blessing, and it's one of those blessings that when I first heard it as a kid from my pastor, I probably heard it in confirmation class. Actually, I probably heard it from my Sunday school teachers, but you know, I had a hard time paying attention. I was one of those students in Sunday school class. And the Lord says very clearly in his word, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. So I'm looking at a whole bunch of people. If you believe in Jesus Christ, as you just got through telling me, if you believe this, your eternal life has started already. It's fulfilled in glory in heaven, but it starts right now. So the cool thing that I never realized until I started to grow up just a little bit in my faith was I can have an absolute certainty. I know I'm going home to heaven. You know why? It doesn't depend on me. Nothing at all depending on me. It's all in what God has done for me and what God says to me and how he works faith in me to trust his words. From beginning to end, it's all about God. And I just happen to be the recipient of one blessing after another. This man didn't know that. What's really neat is he starts this list, because Jesus asked him the question. He says, well, why are you calling me good? The only one good is God. So he wants this man to understand, do you know who you're talking to? I agree with you. I'm good. The only one good is God. And right away, the guy picks up. Oh, yeah, I know. And then Jesus says, the commandments. You know the commandments. And then he starts to list the commandments. And this man interrupts Jesus and says, oh, teacher, I've kept all those. From the time I was a little guy. I know I honor my mom and dad. I didn't fraud anybody. I never killed anybody. I'm doing the good thing, Lord. And then this wonderful little sentence. Jesus looked at him and loved him. The word for look is a really interesting word. It doesn't just mean see with your eyes. It means to see. It happened as this last confirmation class. One of the students said, Pastor, I don't like it when you're looking at me. It looks like you're looking right through me. And then I looked at somebody else. Yeah, same here. That's the kind of look that Jesus gave. Like, I know you, and I know what you're all about. But when Jesus looked at this guy, he really did know him and what he was all about. The neat thing about Jesus, this guy gets through listening. He's kept all the commandments. Jesus could have stopped him right there and said, oh, yeah, really? Oh, you kept all the commandments? Sure. When's the last time you had a lusty thought, huh? When's the last time you lipped off at somebody and you showed dishonor to somebody? When's the last time you had an angry thought in your mind? But Jesus doesn't do any of that. Because he looked at him and he loved him. And this man was missing something. This man thought by keeping rules, he could make God happy and get into heaven. He'd get God happy his own way. Instead of God's way. Jesus looked at him and he loved him, and now you hear what real love is. Real love is when God tells you something that is uncomfortable, it's a little bit too much to my point, it's stepping on my toes. Real love is letting you know the truth. And so we let him know the truth. Jesus says to him with all the love he can, he says, you know, there's one thing you lack. Can you imagine this man? Oh, one thing. I just got to do one thing. One thing. Quick. That's so cool. And then Jesus says, go, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, come, follow me. Was it one thing or is it five? Jesus says, one thing you lack. He loved this guy. Why is he telling him one thing you like? What's the one thing you like? The man was all about keeping rules, and God is about the heart. He wants our heart. He wants us to follow him first, most, best, all the time. This man didn't get it. Didn't even keep the first commandment. So Jesus, in love, points this out to him in a way that he could understand. And he says, you know, one thing you lack. Now, if I'm this guy, I could have said, well, you know, boy, that's entirely impractical. You know, I can't sell everything I have. Or you might say, well, Lord, all those other people that depend on my business, you know, they'd be all out of a job if I sold everything I had. Or how come you're telling me I have to sell everything I have? How come you're not telling Nathaniel? Or how about we negotiate this a little bit, Lord? How about give 50%? And then that's a lot. That's a lot more than Peter gives. He could have done all that, but instead, he's sad and he goes away. He doesn't follow Jesus. So Jesus says, you know, it's really hard for a rich man to get into heaven. And that is when he put the sandals on the apostles' feet. The disciples are following Jesus, you know, and they're hearing everything that Jesus is saying, and he says, so now Jesus is watching this man go away, and he says, man, Jesus says, you know, it's really hard for a rich man to get into heaven. Right away, they figured out they're rich. Now, I'm looking at you, and you're saying, well, Pastor, thankfully, that's not me. I'm not rich. Do you have a pair of shoes? That's more than about half the world does. I have two pairs of shoes. In fact, just so you know, I have four pairs of boots. I don't just have one hat. I have four hats. I don't just have one shirt. I have a whole closet full of shirts, and my wife can tell you I have too many shirts. In fact, I live in Wisconsin. I have more than one pair of long underwear. I am rich. I am incredibly rich. So when Jesus says how hard it is for a rich man to get into heaven, I immediately put those words into my heart. Why did he say that? And the disciples started talking, and just like the disciples, they talked to each other. Jesus is right there, and the disciples are worried. How can we get into heaven? Who can get into heaven? How can it? And so what happens is they caught in this little loop. Well, I'm rich. He says it's really hard to get into heaven. How am I going to get into heaven? And Jesus says, you know, it is impossible. Well, thank you so much, Lord. I really appreciate that. Impossible with man, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. You and I, when we look at this, we think, well, he's one thing he lacks, and go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, come follow me. Those five commands were just Jesus' way of taking this man's Band-Aid and ripping it off and letting him see that the wound is a really deep wound. That sin can't be covered up with a Band-Aid. That somebody has to pay the price. And Jesus did. The awesome, awesome gospel is that God, for Jesus' sake, has forgiven you all your sins. Did you hear that? It doesn't matter if you're arguing in the car on the way here. It doesn't matter if your whole life up until this moment has been one big trash heap. It doesn't matter if you thought that you could make God happy by doing this, this, and this, and this, and then get into heaven. God says all sin has been forgiven, wiped clean. But Madison was baptized into Christ. Christ adopted her into God's family. You know what that means? She knows for certain that she's going home to heaven. She knows for certain that God's holy angels are around her right now. Not because she's Madison and she's cool, because she is, but because God says that he loves her. God says he forgives her. God says, I've adopted you into my family. And God says, I'll take you home safely. And he says that to each of us. We have an amazing God. And the thing is, we just don't believe him. Bottom line. But God loves us more than we can imagine. He looks right through us. Every week he looks through us. Every day he looks through us. Every moment of every day he looks through us. And he loves us. And I give him no reason to love me. And he loves me anyway. Do you realize what an amazing thing that is? We serve a great God. The Savior who became one of us, lived a life in our place for us, and then went to a cross for us. You don't find that in a comic book. You don't find that in your best friend. You find it only in the scriptures, where God, for Jesus' sake, has forgiven our sins. So what about this money stuff? God gives us money to honor him, to take care of each other, but to honor him. It all comes from God. It's all to be used for God's glory. I like how Job put it. I came in the world, I had nothing. When I leave, I take nothing out. But between that time of coming in and leaving, God is incredibly blessing me with all sorts of stuff so I can reach more and more people on the way with his good news of Jesus Christ. So my dear friends, do that. Remember who it is that you serve, and serve him with great joy. In his name, so let us live. Amen.